Hey guys, it's Selena. I'm here to discuss this topic. The main topic of love and relationships. What is love? What does love mean to you? What do you require in love? You know, everyone is different. Everyone requires different in love. Everyone expresses love in a different way, you know. So we're gonna explore those things right now. I'm so excited to finally be get into this topic because, you know, it's really a complex thing, you know. So first I wanted to go into what Google says love is. We're going to go to Google first and see what Google says love is. Oh, and guys, I'm going to go in the bathroom with this, or at least my studio area. That's what I call it, because there's a train by my apartment and, you know, it can become a little nerve wracking. So like I said, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look and see what Google says love is. Okay. So, I'm typing it in now. Love. Definition, I guess. Okay. So, it says number one, an intense feeling of deep affection. Then number two says a great interest and pleasure in something. As a verb, it says feel deep affection for someone. Okay, and as a second verb, it says like or enjoy very much. Okay, so that's very simple. So let's see what the Bible says about love. You know what I'm speaking of. You know, love is patient, love is kind, you know. So let's see what that one says. And then we're going to go to more like a scientific, you know, a scientific terminology and like how is love developed, you know, the different types of love. Okay. So let's see. So this one is 1 Corinthians 16 and 14. Again, guys, you know, I'm not very religious, but I do know religion. I have studied most popular religions, I think, or most well-known religions. And, you know, so I do have an understanding and I respect our religion. But again, I do know it's power in that Bible, honey. That Bible, it holds power, honey. That is very true. I don't care what you believe, but it holds power. So, okay. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Okay, so that's what the Bible says love is. Okay, so we'll go to now, how fast can a person actually fall in love? Okay, this was very interesting to me when looking it up. Okay, it says the past surveys show that men wait just 88 days, that's under 3 months, to say the three little words in their partner for the first time in 39%. Oh, I'm sorry. It says say those words to their partner for the first time. Forgive me. It says, and 39% say that within the first month. Women, on the other hand, take an average of 134 days. Okay. Now, that is a past survey. But another one says, another survey says, how long does it take to fall in love? It says it can happen in a matter of 0.20 seconds, believe it or not. Perhaps this time is way too short for everyone, but I think it makes sense if you look at it in a certain level or a certain perspective. So it says seven crucial things you need to know. Is love at first sight real? Is it a real thing? Because if so, it means that love can happen within seconds, okay? Okay, so it says, I'm looking for it, it says, okay, so there's no definitive answer, but you should think of the why, okay? How long does it take to fall in love? Men take I already told you guys about the average of 88 days, and females take an average of 134, okay, 134 days. But there's no average time, there's no definitive time, okay? So that goes for the individual, I guess. let me see. It could mean that you could fall in love on a first date, that you may not be truly falling in love with someone until you've been dating them for about 5 years. You know, some feelings of love happen in between these two contrasting time periods. But, you know, you get the point. So, I'm not going to give any of my references right now. I'm just like looked in Google. I typed it in the search engine on, you know, the questions that I'm asking. So there's, you know, the bibliography. I think that's what it's called. But let's see. It says, are you saying I love you because you believe you're falling in love with them? These are questions that you should be asking yourself. Like, but should you pop the three words on a first date? Like, okay, it says, do you feel the right time? Or, excuse me guys, perhaps I've had a long day. What is this? Now it's moving around the screen. Okay, I don't know where I got lost for a second there. Okay, it says, do you feel it's the right time, or perhaps you're just worried that they will leave if you don't express yourself right away? You know, because let's face it, I love you are some pretty strong words. And it says, you don't just throw randomly and expect that the receiver won't think about that. Oh, they won't think about it at all. Because of course they will, you know. But you must be prepared for the outcome and the afters. You know what I mean? Okay, it says, so the second thing, it's quick when a man feels like a hero. Like, right. Want your man to fall in love with you again? This is the question, okay, that it's saying here. I think this is, everyone wants to hear this, all the ladies. It says, or fall in love for the first time. Although falling in love is subjective process, there is something at all men, I mean something that all men crave from a relationship, and when he gets it, he can fall in love very quickly. And what is it? A man wants to see himself as a hero, as someone his partner genuinely wants and needs to have around, not as a mere accessory or best friend or partner in crime. There's actually a new psychological theory that, for what I'm talking about, it claims that men in particular have a biological drive to step up for the women in his life and be her hero. It's called the hero instinct. Okay, I like that. Okay, I'll give me a hero. I like a hero. Okay. And it says, and the kicker is, a man won't fall in love until his instinct is brought to the foreground. Okay, So ladies, y'all pick that up? Y'all, do y'all get that? Okay, so you have to kind of play a little damsel in distress. I'm in distress. No, I'm just playing. I don't know if that's what that's saying. I wouldn't suggest that, because, you know, I think men have a, this is my own personal opinion, I think men like don't like a weak woman either. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, so it says men won't fall in love, okay, yeah, until it's brought to the forefront. I know it sounds a bit silly. In this day and age, women don't need someone to rescue them. They don't need a hero in their lives. And I couldn't agree more, is what they say, because for me, I like me having me a stallion, baby. I like having me a Boaz. That's what they say. But there's an ironic truth. Men do still feel the need to feel like a hero, because it's built into their DNA and seeks out relationships that allow them to feel like a protector. That's interesting. So, to make a man fall in love with you, you have to find ways to make him feel like your hero. There's an art to doing this, which can be a lot of fun when you know exactly what to do, but it requires a little more work than just asking him to fix your computer or carry your heavy bag. The best way to learn to trigger the hero instinct in your guy is to watch this video online. Okay, so there's a video called James Buer, the relationship psychologist who first coined this term, give a terrific introduction on his concept. Okay, so let me see. I don't think we pay much attention to popular. Okay, so we're going to skip that. Okay, so falling in love and being in love are mutually exclusive events. Okay, so how do I know if I'm falling in love and not already in love? You know, it says, well, the truth is that both can happen at the same time. This may calm you down or understandably make you even more confused. Now, it says, according to relationship expert Kimmy, please forgive me if I'm saying his name incorrectly. It says Sogunley, I don't know. Kimmy Sogunley, and that's spelled Kemisogunle. Okay, being in love with someone can stem from infatuation, possessiveness, and obsession. Okay, so listen to that. This says being in love with someone can stem from, so this is like the root of you feeling as though you're in love with someone is out of infatuation, possessiveness, and obsession. Okay, so let's take a little side note here and let's look up the word infatuation. And it's not infatuation. Oh, no, no. There's nothing going on between me and you. That's a little bit of Mary J. Blige. It just reminded me of that song, Infatuation. Okay, it says an intense but shortly lived passion or admiration for someone or something. Okay, so that's what the Google Dictionary says. So, my last situation, I believe he was infatuated with me because he was very, 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 very attentive. Like, and after a little while, he changed completely, completely changed. He put me on a pedestal for a while, but now he kind of like knocked me off that box. I'm like, what the fuck? Well, anyway, so we'll get back to that. It says, however, loving someone goes beyond physical presence. You desire to see them grow. You see past their flaws. You see opportunities of building into each other, and together you motivate, encourage, and inspire one another. So how does this work? Well, we can explain it using relatable romantic behaviors. If you're in love, or if you're falling in love, you can't help but listen to all the happy love songs. Even if you hate pop music, you feel butterflies in your stomach. You get nervous about your dates and stay up late night going through scenarios. But if you are in love, you're comfortable sharing more personal things with them. You know that you're not just staying because of how good they look. You don't get irrationally upset when they can't be around because they're busy. And the amazing thing is that these two can happen simultaneously. You still feel nervous when you see them in their best clothes, but you're also okay with them hearing you burp after eating a lot of burgers and fries. You feel sexually attracted to them, but also know that intimacy doesn't have to be physical. So how long does it take to fall in love? We can't really know for sure, okay? Yet there's a certain, there's a certain, where are we at with it? There's a certain how fast or how long it takes for you to fall in love is in no way indicative of when you will be in love with someone. And when you do, you can still keep falling for them. Excuse me, guys. Sorry about that. Okay, so there's biorhythms aren't entirely mainstream. It says there's another movie that they're promoting on here. Okay, so it says biorhythms. Oh, wait a minute, I skipped up. Okay, so let your biorhythms guide you, okay? What semi-scientific way to tell whether you're in love right now or when you'll fall in love with a friend of mine recently introduced me to the concept called biorhythms. She says learning about her own biorhythms has changed everything in her quest for love. Okay, so biorhythms aren't entirely mainstream, but it's got a lot more scientific credibility than astrology, numerology, and other new age fads. Now, they're calling it new age fads, but for me, you know I'm about the astrology, and you know I'm about the numerology, so we're not going to take nothing from that. But, okay, it says, in fact, it's becoming extremely popular among and unlikely groups of experts, including scientists and shamans. Okay, the idea behind biorhythms is that our lives are influenced by natural mathematics cycles. The best bit is that we can use these cycles to predict important events, such as when we'll fall in love and with who. Now, I'm skeptical as anyone when it comes to stuff like this, but cycles are everywhere in nature and in our lives, including the human body, running on circadian rhythms. Okay, I hope I said it properly. It's reasonable to believe our relationships are also influenced by natural cycles. If you want to learn more about that fascinating concept, check out the excellent video that they have up there. Okay, it says attraction takes only 3 seconds. Okay. I'm not going to go into all of that. I'm not going to read all of that, okay? Because I don't want to keep, boring you guys. And then it says, you only need around 0.20 seconds to fall in love. The previous discussion says that attraction takes only 3 seconds, but it seems science has an even more surprising suggestion that falling in love takes just 1/5 of a second. 1/5 of a second, okay? It's meta-analysis study. Which means, oh my goodness, my nose is itching, guys. That data comes from several studies. In particular, the studies chosen were about the use of functional magnetic resonance in images. That's or fMRI, okay? The study aimed to identify the parts of the brain associated with passionate love and others. Forms of love, and that's the next thing we're going to get on, passionate love and other forms of love. Okay, it says, well, the first is that 12 sections of the brain are responsible for the feeling of falling in love. They give us that feeling by releasing a variety of chemicals. One of them I know is called oxytocin. Now, that's a very, very, very complex one too. Okay, it makes you happy. They call it the love hormone. I'm sorry, not oxytocin. It's oxytocin. Sorry. But, okay, so here it's saying right now. That was my little side note. It says, which chemicals? Two of them are dopamine and oxytocin. respectively known as the feel-good hormone and the love hormone. Does this mean that, does this mean that it's wrong to say that love comes from the heart? That actually comes from the brain? Not exactly. Okay, both the brain and the heart contribute to making us feel love. So let's ask the question again. How long does it take to fall in love? In this case, the answer lies in molecules known as nerve growth factor. When you fall in love, the blood level of your NGF, nerve growth factor, increases by a significant margin. In other words, if you somehow had a way to measure NGF blood levels while you're out on a date, you can determine if and when you fall in love. That's interesting, guys. But even if you don't, at least we know one thing, that falling in love can happen in a matter of 0.20 seconds. Perhaps this time is better to ask, how short does it take to fall in love, okay? And it depends, are you a man or a woman, okay? Biologist Dawn Masler noted a few things. Love has a biological basis. There is no exact time for love, for falling in love. There is no such thing as love at first sight. It's merely lust, okay? That's what I said, okay? The first is in line with the previous item in our list. The third statement is, okay, in direct contrast with it. So what her reasoning behind these, what is her reasoning behind these? People all have oxytocin as a love hormone in the the cuddle hormone, but how its level rises depends on whether you're a man or a woman. For men, oxytocin levels rise when their testosterone levels drop. Interesting. Wow. Hold on, I'm getting a message, guys. Okay. But once a committed relationship, their testosterone levels are reduced. This allows the effects of oxytocin to become more potent. So in this case, men fall in love after they enter a relationship. But what about women? It seems that the better degree of control over when they fall in love. Feelings of excitement increase their dopamine levels, their oxytocin levels rise when they kiss or begin to trust someone. Wow. They can go for a kiss or something more intimate, but remember, this is just an explanation, okay? How long does it take to fall in love? Does it really matter? Okay, so that's it. I'm not gonna read any more of that. So there's that. Now, the other thing I wanted to look into was the different types of love. Okay, different types of love. Okay, so it says, there are 8 different types of love. Well, the first one says, the 8 different types of love, the perfect combo for you, okay? Then there's another one that says 12 different types, 8 different types, 7 and 4, okay? So let's start with, the 8 types of love. Matter of fact, let's start with the 12, okay? Here are the 12 types of love. New love, this love is so fun. Routine love, you've been dating for a while and you love each other. Okay, then there's disgusting love. Get a room, sickos. You know, that's what they're saying. It says infatuation love. You love the idea of this person. The idea of this person. Did y'all get that? I love the idea of this person. I love the idea of being in love. Interesting. So that's infatuation love. And infatuation, like we said earlier, is shortly lived. The one love. Then there's in it to win it love. They're not really giving too much explanations on these things. But we'll go back. Okay. Oh my goodness, no. There are large explanations. These are gonna have to go on to another thing. But I'll read something that to me is interesting. It says the one love. That's plain and simple. It might take a while for you to realize it. You might break up, get back together, break up again, etc. But hold on. Get back together, etc. But after all is said and done, you realize that there is no one quite on earth like this person. You're everything to them. They're perfect. That you almost hate them. That makes sense. For you didn't think there would be a person in the world that could make you feel this way. Interesting. Okay, so that's the one love. Then it's the in it to win it love, okay? You guys are in it, okay? You're not giving up on this, your partners in life. You can somehow watch this person have food poisoning and still want to have sex with them much later. That says in parentheses. It says, you've been through it, whether it's losing a job, having a child, buying a house, death of a parent. They were there. They were supporting you the whole way through. That is, then it says, you couldn't imagine life without them. I like to think of this as the next step to the one love, the one we were just previously talking about, because it goes far and deeper than that. Then there's tragic love. At the end, it shouldn't have unrequited. Okay, so unrequited love. I hate that word. Like that. Unrequited is like there's not enough love to keep this relationship together. This kind of love is deeply embedded into your soul. Wow. And it passes through you slowly, but eventually you'll heal. You will always feel the pangs of this love, but it's never quite the same as it was before. Wow. And you know this. Your love would never be the same if you were to be together again. And everyone knows this. No matter what you do or who you love thereafter, you'll always remember this person. And that's called tragic love. I can speak on a tragic love. I'm still in pain from it. That shit went on for about 5 years. We'll talk about that another time, but that's why this is such an important topic to me, because it's like my relationship. I value my relationships, and it seems like my relationships, like that, like my romantic relationships, have been so tumultuous and difficult. Just trying to have one, keep one, and maintain one. Although I give you the best love advice now. You know what I'm saying? I give you the best love advice. But anyway, says your parents' love. Okay, this is, let me see. I would look at that more like, unconditional love, because that's an important thing to me. Unhealthy love. We all have that ex that can't have you, so they want you. Wait. They can't have you, so they want you. They finally get you, and they don't want you anymore. Wow. A vicious cycle, but you still care for them because it went deeper than that. After all, you had a different kind of love before. You had a new love and a routine love and something else. But it ended, and now you still care for each other, but it can never be again. Point blank, you're toxic to each other. Wow. That's unhealthy love. This is old people love, the cute, dumb love of all, obviously. Who, okay, well, you know what the old folk love is, shit. You know what that is. So we're gonna leave it at that. Okay, so the last thing I want to say about this is that one thing I know through that tragic love I had experience that went on for 5 years, that I still feel the pangs when I think of it, think of him. Sometimes I still might even cry, but that made me take a look at the patterns. Hold on, let me get out of here. It made me look at the patterns in my relationships. It made me realize that which dynamic that I was raised in, that I grew up in, is that the patterns in my relationship were mirrored after. So basically, what I just said here is that
Most of the relationships that we naturally seek out are that of a dynamic in which we grew up in. Okay, so for example, the dynamics between my mother and myself, the dynamics between my sister and myself. I have three sisters. So those dynamics are like things that we grow up in. I mean, grow in, we are somewhat embedded in us. You know what I'm saying? We get used to being treated a certain type of way. So that's what we, you know, see as normal. That's what we see as love, you know? So even though they might not be correct, they might not be healthy, but that's, those are what we seek out until we have our healing, our own personal healing. And once we have our own personal healing, then we can draw in and attract a relationship or a lover that is more conducive to our needs and to our, you know, like I said, what we need as in love. So I'll give you a great example. For me, I express love by giving gifts, you know, being nurturing, you know, being understanding, being being non-judgmental, being supportive. Like, that's how I show my love. That's how I express my love, amongst other ways. But some people don't need that. Like, they don't need nobody to pat them on the back. They need more practical things, you know, like a roof over their head or clothes on their back. And when you give them those things, that is what equals and signifies love to them. You know, for me, I never needed those things because I was always very independent. So for me, my mother expressed love as in providing for me, you know, all of the necessities that, you know, she felt that I needed. But for me, I didn't need any of that. I could take care of that myself. You know, I was working from a young age. I think I started making money at, like, shit, I was about to say 14, 15, but even when I was in middle school, I was still selling candy. I was always very independent, always made my own money. So I didn't need the material things from them. I needed the kisses, the hugs, the affection, the pat on the back, you know what I'm saying, the emotional support. That's what I needed. But my mother was not, she wasn't really even capable of doing it. Like, she had, even with her own emotions, she has a hard time processing her own emotions. So, you know, I'm expecting her to be able to, you know, I have this idea of what a mother should be like and what a mother should do. So, you know, I'm disappointed because she's not living up to my standard of what I think a mother should be. Although those are qualities that she doesn't even have. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are qualities that, like, she doesn't even possess. So how can I expect her to be someone that she's not? You know what I'm saying? So that's when, you know, we become disappointed with people, you know, because we put these labels on people, like a sister, a brother, a cousin, mother, and we have our own perception of what those labels entail. And when a person doesn't live up to them, that's when we become disappointed. And there's nothing wrong with that individual. You need to come back and check yourself. You know, you need to come back and check yourself. Allow people to be themselves. So, with that, once you get the healing, oh, you know, I'm healed. You know, no resentments, no nothing like that. That's when you can draw in a new, better relationship. So, which brings me to, okay, after that tragic relationship that lasted 5 years, that broke me down and, you know, had me self-medicating and all these things, I moved away, you know. I moved away, 12-hour drive away from that city that was so close to where he could, you know, we could see each other whenever. So I moved away, you know, but it wasn't, obviously it wasn't just because of that, but, you know, I had plenty of reasons why I moved, but, excuse me, when I moved away, my energy changed, my thought process, the way I thought about myself, the way I loved myself, changed, you know, and I was very much like, it's about me. If you don't like it, you can motherfucking hit the road.
You feel me? It's about what I want. And, you know, I became real, I don't want to say selfish, but for me, I may have been even overcompensating a little bit because I wanted to make sure that it was very clear that I love me and it's about me. I've catered to these people and did everything that I possibly could to make them happy, but we're responsible for our own happiness. So now, either you know, this is my stage, this is my show, either you can get with it or get lost. You know, and that type of energy drew in men that wanted to, or relationship partners, that wanted to be there with me, that wanted to be supportive of me, that wanted to, you know what I'm saying, like really treat me like the queen that I was stepping into myself to be, right? So then Somehow, some guy trickled his way in, he snuck his way in, and was all about it. You know, had me up on that pedestal and, you know, encouraged my queendomness, you know what I'm saying, and encouraged all of that. And then, somehow, it switched to where I started, yeah, because I remember, he was... Oh, I want to be with you. You my girl now. And this my girl. And you know what I'm saying? Like, really, this my girl. And then I'm like, at first, I'm like, this motherfucker crazy. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, I hope I ain't meeting no motherfucking crazy one. Because his ass, he talking about some. Nah, you can't leave me. Ain't no leaving me now. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh my God. You know, what have I gotten myself into? But as time went on, oh, he just started doing things that, like, we was living like we were in a relationship. Like, he was here with me in my apartment all day, every day, day in, day out. We did everything together, you know. And then somewhere along the line, he claimed that he started, I'm getting tired of it. I'm getting tired of being around the same person all the time. And I'm like, okay. You know, by this point, I'm falling for him. You know what I'm saying? By this point, I'm loving this. I'm loving this whole, you know, laying up and watching movies, going everywhere together, being seen together. You know what I'm saying? I'm loving all that. But then, I don't know. It just changed. He changed. I don't think I changed. I think I'm still the person that I was. The only thing that probably changed was my hair and my hair color. Maybe my eye color. You know, but other than that, mm-mm. And see, for me, I feel like I am love. I feel like I'm the embodiment of love, you know? So I know how to love somebody. Like, and I know, you know, he has a bunch of fucking flaws. Like, they're really to the point where you probably would want to know why I'm even dealing with him at all, period. Because the flaws that he has, honey, I don't even want to go into them. But they're flaws that, like, a motherfucker would hear of some of those things and would be like, oh, hell no. I can't deal with that. You know what I'm saying? Type of thing. But I still, you know, I know how to love unconditionally, like the love of a mother. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're supposed to love, support, and accept. That's what I feel like. A mother is supposed to do it. That's it. No judgment. No, you love, support, and accept with your child. That's it. You know, it's that simple. And that's where I was at with him. You know, like, he did some really wrong things. Some things that if I was younger, I probably would have been in jail because I probably would have committed some type of crime. I'm going to put it like that, behind that. But I've grown so much, you know, that I'm like, you know, it's not really worth all that. The worst thing you can, cheating on me is not the worst thing you can do to me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't even want a person to be around me if they would prefer to be somewhere else or be with someone else. If I'm telling you, I'm like, you want to go somewhere? You want to be with her? Go over there with her. You understand what I'm saying? You can come back once you finish feeling your little fantasy or whatever, and we'll talk and discuss and continue on after which, because you're not going to be sitting up in my face, annoyed with me, being snappy and all these things with me because you want to be somewhere else. No, go ahead on over there. But that's what I've grown into. You know, I haven't yet to meet any man, okay, not one. I haven't met one. If you have, please show me that hasn't cheated or that doesn't cheat. You know what I'm saying? Or what we consider cheating. You know, that's in a monogamous relationship. But anyhow, so I'm going to wrap this up. I'm wrapping it up. Basically, we talked about what is love. We talked about how fast can you fall in love. We talked about, you know, broke down what the Bible's called love is, the Christian Bible, that is, how they express call love, how people express love differently, how people, what you need in love, because everyone is different, and you need to find out what your partner needs, you know, in love. And talked about different types of love. So please, guys, this was a 40-minute podcast. I hope you guys learn something. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact me. You know, we have the this platform is called anchor.fm/Selena-Samone. That's SalinaSamone. And with that, there's the Twitter. It's the same thing. Twitter now. Now, my Twitter now, that's the adult content now. Do not go on that Twitter if you under 18. Shit, really need to wait till you're 21 to go up on that Twitter. But now, then there's Instagram. Same thing, Selena Samone. Might be T.S. Selena Samone, that is. So, y'all can check me out on the YouTube channel. Yes, check her out. Oh, also, coming up, I have like 3 or 4 more fire songs, guys, that I want to be playing and putting on for this for some of the upcoming podcasts. I just need to get them mixed and mastered, and once they are, they will be on the money, honey. Okay, so I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. Like I said, I hope you guys have learned something from this. I hope it was able to uplift some people, maybe shed some light on some things that you maybe possibly didn't understand. Again, my email address is selenasimone2020@gmail.com. If there's anything else that you think we might have can touch on before we end this this series, then please let me know before we do, and we can go on from there. I love you guys so much. Bye.